Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
In this series, we have addressed the four needs that basically all of humanity has. And I'm not the first to teach this. Many studies have come to this conclusion that as people, we live with four basic needs: a need of acceptance, a need of identity, a need of security, and a need of purpose. Ultimately, we want to know what we're here for, and we want to know that every day we are fulfilling and living out the purpose of the plan that God has for our life. My objective in this series that I really felt led to do was to show you that all four of these needs that all of us face are met only by the grace of God, and that one truly leads itself to the other. In this world we live in, there are so many that are willing to change their identity for the sake of being accepted. But when you search the scriptures and you see God's plan, ultimately, we should find our identity in acceptance, not change our identity for acceptance. Can you say amen to that? You've probably at some point in your life felt like you needed to change who you were in order to gain popularity, in order to gain friends. Maybe when you're in school, you put on a facade so that you could be accepted. You told your mom and dad that you had to have these shoes because everybody was wearing them, and you felt like if you didn't wear them shoes, then you would not be accepted, or you would not get her phone number. Come on, somebody. So we've had this mindset, most of us, that our identity can be changed for the sake of acceptance. But there is something that happens when you search God's word and you begin to realize that our identity is found in our acceptance, that the one leads itself to the other, that when you find acceptance by God, it is then that you can begin to walk in the identity that he planned for man. Realize that when God made man, he made man in his own image, and we have been called of God to be image bearers of the Lord in this earth, but we are never going to represent the image of Christ. We're never going to represent the image that God has called us to be identified with until we first discover acceptance, which is only by the grace of God. I want you to see something here in Ephesians 2. There are two things that I want us to see, and we're going to look at some other scripture. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 5, that we are saved by the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It is the unmerited favor of God. It is to receive his blessing and his goodness and his favor without any merit, without deserving it, without earning it. It's hard for many to really grasp the grace of God because we live in such a performance-based world. Most of our relationships are performance-based, where we feel like love is something that we earn, or love is something that we deserve. We want to be compensated for what we've sown. We want to be compensated for what we give. In an argument, we get frustrated with one another and say, after all I've done for you, after all I have been through for you, we feel like there should be some payback, there should be some recompense, because we live in a system, in a society that mainly understands performance-based relationship. And even though I know my wife Chrissy loves me, and I have no doubt about that love, and prayerfully she doesn't have any doubt for mine, I think even in a relationship where you know you're loved, there's still this mindset that I need to earn points, or I need to build up my point system, you know, and so we kid about it. You know, I did something yesterday and took Jaron and got his hair cut, and it was looking good, and I was just kidding, and I said, yeah, when I get home, I'm going to get some brownie points for this, because mama didn't even know I was going to get the boy's hair cut, have him looking good, knocking out some to-dos, going to come home, my points are going to go up. I might need to make a withdrawal later, and I'm going to have some points in the bank. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. And it's not that I feel like I've got to earn points with Christy so that I can go back later and make a withdrawal. It's that that's the way we operate. That's the way we tick. We think, you know what? I scratch your back one day, you're going to scratch mine. We live in a society where relationships are performance-based. And what's sad is we carry that mindset over into our relationship with God. And I want you to hear something very carefully. You cannot get any closer to God than what your idea about him exists. You can't get any closer to God than what your concept of him is. It determines how close you get to God. And if in your mind, God is a performance-based father, that you cannot access him until you have it all together, that you cannot have access to him until everything is perfect and you have on your best look and your best suit and everything is right, and then you can walk in the light of who he is, then that concept of God is going to determine your relationship with him. And there are many, sadly, even born-again believers that carry a performance-based mindset of God into this relationship with him, and what it does is it hinders that relationship and it prevents us from walking in the identity he called us to walk in. It prevents us from walking in the security that he wants us to walk in, because ultimately you will never fulfill your purpose if you are insecure, and you will remain insecure until you recognize your identity, and you will not come to know your identity until you find your acceptance. And God is saying through his word, all of these are an act of grace, unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor. I think that there are many believers, and I've thought this way, that, you know, grace was what I needed at the beginning of this relationship. Grace is what I needed to be saved. But don't realize that not only do I need grace to be saved, but I need grace to know who I am, that I need grace to feel secure in who I am, and that I need God's grace if I'm going to fulfill my purpose. It's the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 who is struggling. I mean, he's a minister of the gospel. He writes 90% of the New Testament by God's Spirit. He's the greatest missionary that ever lived. And right in this moment of 2 Corinthians 12, he's at the end of his rope. He's under persecution. He's under affliction. He's beyond his strength. And he goes to God and he prays and he says, Lord, would you remove this thorn from my flesh? Will you remove this thing that has me weak? I'm at the end of my rope. I don't feel like I can be who you've called me to be. I don't feel like I can fulfill the purpose that you've given me. You must remove this thing that ails me. And God looked back at Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and he said this. He said, my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. What he was telling Paul is that I don't have to remove what ails you. I don't have to remove the thorn that is in your flesh. But at this moment in your life, you must rely on my grace. See, grace is not only what saved me. Grace is what keeps me. Grace is what enables me. That, you know, when I'm at that breaking point, that I can't be the husband God called me to be, that I can't be the father of these four children that God has called me to be, when I struggle with the mindset that I can't be the pastor that God's called me to be, that I can't be the man that God has called me to be, I have to remember that I am who I am by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, church, that if you're not there today, there will come times in your life when you feel like you are not sufficient, you are not adequate, that you don't bring enough to the table, and it is then that you need to recognize only by God's grace can I find acceptance, identity, security, and ultimately fulfill my purpose. You never graduate from grace. Tell your neighbor that. You never graduate from grace. You never come to this point that you don't need the grace of God. Now, there'll be moments that you think you do, but it's not a reality. See, watch what he says here in verse number 7 of Ephesians 2. He's speaking of God's grace that saved us. And he says, from the moment that you accepted Christ, in verses 5 and 6, he says that in the ages to come, from the moment that you accepted Christ forward, Not after you die and go to heaven forward, but in the ages to come from the moment you accepted Christ. Notice what he said. He said that he wants to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So the day of your salvation was not the end of grace. It was the beginning of grace. God is saying from that moment forward, I want to show you just how rich this grace is that saved you. So let's say you got saved, you know, in year 2000, you know, and 8. Well, listen, since then, the last 10 years, God is wanting to show you just how rich that grace is that saved you at that moment in your life. God is saying, let me show you. Let's go to the show. Let me demonstrate. Let me portray to you just how abundant, just how rich this grace is that I have directed toward you through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 8, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself. If you could have saved yourself, Jesus could have stayed in heaven. He said, it is the gift of God, not of works. If it was all about you, you could brag, lest any man should boast. He said, it's not your bragging rights because it's not your works that saved you. It is my grace that saved you. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Now, let's turn back to the book of Romans, and I want to go to the 11th chapter. The book of Romans, the 11th chapter. Why is grace so important? Why must we hear this series and this teaching on grace? Why is grace demonstrated from Genesis all the way to Revelation? Because grace reflects the heart of God. Grace reflects his plan to save. It is by grace that we have access to God. And you can't find acceptance by God without grace. Now, I said something a minute ago that I want to go back and build on this, because I made a statement that you can't get any closer to God than what your concept of him will allow. That means whatever it is you think of God, that's setting the perimeters in this relationship. And so if God is calling you into a relationship with him, and he is. I was ministering to a guy Friday, and I was sharing the gospel with him, and I went all the way back to the beginning and how man sinned against God, and when he did, man was outside of God's presence trying to get his act together, and it was God that said to fallen man, Adam, where art thou? And I didn't even say the word, and he said it back to me. This guy said, relationship. And I said, that's exactly right. God sent Jesus so that we could have a relationship with the Father. He didn't send Jesus to establish a religion. He didn't send Jesus to establish a one-day-a-week relationship with God. He didn't come and die on a cross so we could put God in a building called the church building and lock him up there every Sunday, and on Sunday go to our Father's house. Hello, Father, hadn't seen you in a few days. Hope all is well. Okay, see you next week. That is not what God called us into when he sent Jesus. He called us into a relationship with him, but whatever your concept of God is, that's what's setting the perimeter on this relationship. So when you recognize that Jesus paid the price for your sin, and there is acceptance into God's presence through what Jesus offered. Now, in that acceptance, you can begin to find your identity, not change your identity for the sake of acceptance. You know, bad religion's done an injustice to Christianity, because what it's done is it's separated the relationship that God wants to have with you and I, so that we're fulfilling our purpose from day to day. It separated that and put God in a box called Sunday morning. And so we left him there, and all, you know, of our lives, we felt like we had to get it together for God on Sunday. We put on our best for Sunday. We talk our best on Sunday. We actually go find our Bible on Sunday. We do all it. We put our praise on Sunday. You know, we turn the radio station. Ooh, that's Sunday. I don't listen to that today. This is a sanctified day. And that is not what Jesus came to do, so that we could separate one day a week where we get our spiritual act together and put a standard on Sunday that we won't put on any other day of the week. You'll have folk walk in church there, I can't believe they got all them guitars up in that church, and then go get in their car and listen to a secular song that's filled with guitars. It's because in our mind, we set a standard on Sunday and Sunday morning in church that we'd never applied outside the church, because we had separated our walk with God to an encounter with Him on Sunday morning, and we're never fulfilling our purpose because our concept of God is all skewed. Listen, God says in Acts 17, I don't need your buildings of brick and mortar. I don't dwell in your buildings of brick and mortar. I don't need you building me a house. He moved off Mount Sinai to move into Mount You and I. He wants to live in us and move in us Sunday, Monday, Tuesday at midnight, Wednesday, driving down the road in your kitchen, cooking brownies, hanging out on your back porch. He wants to have a relationship with you. But the reason we're not having this this relationship and this identity with God is because we've not understood acceptance. We didn't understand that there was nothing we brought to the table that God said, oh, yeah, that right there. Okay, I accept that. No, there's nothing outside of what Jesus did for me on the cross that could merit my salvation. Come on, somebody. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not just saying that. I believe that on my best day, I need His grace. On my worst day, I need His grace. That outside of His grace, I'm not who I am. This acceptance is vital, because until you understand that you are accepted by God, you can't take on the identity of God. Here's why. I hope you get this. Ultimately, it is because we walk in the identity of what we worship. We walk in the identity of what we worship. So if you worship God only on Sunday, then your identity only reflects Him Sunday. You can't help but take on the identity of what it is you worship. And it's not a matter of if you worship. It is a matter of what you worship. Because every one of us were created to be worshipers, and we are always worshiping something. Another word for worship would be to honor or to serve. You know, and it's either God or an idol. There is always something there that we're putting honor in, that we're putting esteem in, that we're giving credibility. And when you offer that worship, that's where you find your identity. Let me prove my point here. When you drove the old oil-leaking, smoking, mosquito-killing car, and your brother-in-law had to come outside and say, hey, man, you know I want you to come over anytime you can, but look, can you stop parking in my driveway? You're leaving this big old oil stain every time you come over my house. He said, oh, man, I'm sorry. I've been meaning to get that fixed. Okay, I'll start parking in the street. All right. And, man, you know, if you find your identity in what you drive, in the model car you drive, in the make and the model, and that brand name, then now all of a sudden when you get that car, all of a sudden now you change the way you talk. You've met people that you work with and said it. Man, ever since she got that car, she acts different. Why? Because whatever it is you idolize, whatever it is you worship, you begin to get your identity in that. So you wouldn't be found in a pair in some clothes that wasn't name brand. Why? Because you find your identity in that name brand. You wouldn't be found driving anything but that making model car. Why? Because I find my identity. Y'all just so quiet up in here. Act like you don't know what I'm talking about. See, we there's nothing wrong with you having nice things. What's wrong is when things have you. But God has never called you and me to find our identity in things. I find my identity in God. There's where I find my identity. That's where I find my security. That's where I find my purpose. But God is saying, listen, when you recognize what I did for you through Christ and you receive the acceptance I have for you, then now you could begin to walk in this identity and feel secure in this identity and ultimately fulfill your purpose. Because as long as you are insecure, because there may be one person, I know y'all some pure, bold people up in here, but there might be one person in here that's got a little insecurity. And when you are insecure, you cannot fulfill your purpose. Why? Because you don't have the confidence and you don't have the boldness to step out in that purpose because you feel insecure. Now, all of those things that I've just mentioned are resolved in the grace of God. Every last need is met right there in the grace of God, that I am who I am by His grace. In His grace, I find acceptance. In His grace, I find identity. Now, if you think that this is an important when it comes to fulfilling your day-to-day purpose in life, look no further than Jesus, because in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is ending a 40-day, 40-night fast. He is getting ready to begin His earthly ministry that would last roughly 3.5 years before He would give His life on the cross. He's getting ready to start His ministry. He fasts and prays for 40 days. And at the end of that fast, Satan came to Him. And notice what Satan came with. He said, "If you be the Son of God." What was Satan doing? He didn't want Jesus to fulfill His purpose. So what did he do? He tried to get Him insecure, if thou be in His identity, the Son of God. If you be the Son of God, twice he posed that question to Him. Why? Because if he could get Jesus insecure in His identity, then he would never fulfill His purpose. And the enemy wants to work that same game on you and me to get you and I insecure in our identity so that we never fulfill our purpose. You know, I'm going to say this and I'm going to move forward here. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. And I know without a doubt, if you're saved, you've experienced both. Conviction is when you know to do right and you don't do it. And the convicting voice of your conscience and God's Spirit or His Word said, do this, do this, do this, and you didn't do it. And then later you said, man, I should have done that. You had a conviction. Or you were convicted not to do something, and you did it anyway. Don't act like you ain't ever done that. And then as soon as you did it, the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit said, why did you do that? And you were so convicted. You're like, man, I can't believe I did that. The Lord told me not to do that. I felt bad about doing it. I did it. Oh, Lord, I can't. And man, you feel so convicted. Listen, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is God's way of convincing you not to do this again, convincing you to be sensitive to His Spirit so that you can walk in His will. Condemnation is never the voice of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So in Christ, I am not condemned. You cannot be condemned in Christ because of His grace. So where does that voice of condemnation come from when we miss the mark? It comes from the enemy. Because the enemy uses condemnation and says, you are sorry. You are no good. Who do you think you are going to church? Who do you think you are praying or reading the Bible? You are unfit. You are a cast out. God does not receive you. God does not hear you. Do you know what you did last week? Do you know how you've been living? Look at your life. Do you really think you should lift your hands and worship? Look at your life. Do you really think you need to be reading the Bible? Look at your life. What are you doing talking about you going to church? See, that is the voice of condemnation. And what does it say? It says rejection. Because the enemy knows if you feel rejected by God and you don't have that acceptance, then you cannot walk in the identity that He has for you. See, I can't be transformed into the image of the one I worship if I feel like I cannot worship Him. But you've got to know that God does not reject the broken heart or the contrite spirit, that on your worst day, the blood of Jesus provides access to you, to the Father. You have to know that this relationship is not a performance-based relationship. This relationship is a grace-based relationship, and condemnation will never come from God. It comes from the enemy to drive a wedge between you and the Lord so that you feel rejected, so that you never walk in the identity that God has called you to walk in.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.